Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
I was discussing yesterday with my wife and I was saying that prayer is the lifestyle of a Christian. Some Christians, they turn prayer to their work. So they'll be in church from morning to night praying. And they don't get to go to work. They don't get to become creative. They don't get to go to the studio to compose their song. They don't get to go to their drawing board. They don't get to go and fulfill their engineering duties. They will be praying only. And then they see they are poor. Then they see they are not making any sense. Then they see they cannot do anything creative. Then they are complaining about those who mastered praying and doing. They complain about those who understood that praying until your clothes is torn is not sensible. When those guys say pray without ceasing, does that mean that nobody should work? It means that you can pray continuously even while working. And that is the secret of success, that your spirit is awake. Spiritually, you are available to dispense. Emotionally, you are well guarded, because a prayerful person is not somebody that is emotionally poor or that can be led by the nose, by the vicissitudes of life. It cannot be easily manipulated. A prayerful person is not available for anybody to throw certain darts at. Actually, present Christians, and I see it all the time, that will say, oh, I go for deliverance every 3 months, or I do my quarterly fast every. Those religious Christians, most of them, the way they accommodate devilish manipulation, you'll be shocked. Because prayer is not supposed to be something that is supposed to be part and parcel of your life. And at the same time, it helps you to be creative. When we pray, there are some certain aspect of brain activity. Science has proven it. That when we pray, there is a shift in the way we think. We open the boundlessness of our imagination, of our communication, and of our abilities. But when we pray to a God that is immeasurable and that is everywhere. We believe him to be everywhere, and I see that we believe him to be in heaven. It is the greatest mystery. So when you are praying, your mind has to indict the person you are praying about, and then that opens the channel so that you begin to consider the things you are thinking about in their supernatural way. Don't let us stop praying, even after fasting. The reason we do this quarterly is I just want it to become part and parcel. But when you do this continuously, it becomes second nature. All of us have been praying now, we've been walking. Several times during this prayer, I have had to travel. I've been to Lagos, up to Ibadan. I've had to travel, even though we are in the midst of prayer. And I wasn't missing prayer. I was still teaching my classes. I was still praying, despite all the activities. We've had to work. We've had to do things. We've had to supervise projects. And we are still praying. People travel to Abuja. People have traveled to London, back from London. And we are still praying. That's how the life of a Christian is. A consciousness of Christ, the way Christ lived his life. Jesus lived a prayed up life. A prayed up life. And that prayed up life is tongues. It is not saying the other way, Balawa. It is not writing a letter to God. It is tongues. It is the only way you can pray without ceasing. It's only praying the Spirit at all times. It keeps you supernaturally alert. It also keeps you from making mistakes and guides your hand in times of confusion. It is the greatest Google map. The greatest. The greatest. We were heading out of Lagos maybe yesterday or 2 days ago, and there was this traffic on the expressway. And I looked at the time, I said, I should look to make it back home. And then I just had to check in my spirit. Not to travel, just to stay back in Lagos. So I stayed back. And later in the evening, somebody wrote a person said, oh, the traffic on the way back. I said, oh my, just that'll be a check. You just know. I want to encourage us because we are getting to be 19 now. And then we have just a week left to pray. And I don't want anybody to get to the end of February and hit itself a bit like, ah, finally, this punishment that my has given anybody is not over. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, the next one is June. No, no, no. It's not punishment. It's not punishment. It is not punishment at all. This is the best time. I look forward to this time. I always, my heart rejoices, delights in our communal prayer and the kind of solutions and answers that I get at this time. Because there's something called corporate anointing. It is more potent, more powerful than personal anointing. When we pray together, we give off this sweet smelling odor, according to the word of God, that is presented to God. Presented to God. The Bible says that even those of us who are weeping, that our tears are presented to God by the angels in a bottle. I'm telling you, first time I saw it. It is presented to God, and God sees your tears. I can't. Who is that? Okay. God, give her water of life. She has lost too much water through the tears. Let her drink some. And then she comes into the benefit that she becomes strong and able. Well, to God. I'll be speaking today on how to deal with negative prophecies. How to deal with negative prophecies. Many of us are students of the Bible. And we know that sometimes the word of prophecy that will come from God will be a word of warning. Sometimes it is an outright word of condemnation. Some of us will remember when Samuel told Saul that the kingdom has been taken away from him. That wasn't an admonition or an encouragement. Some of us remember when David had killed Uriah, and the prophet went to his house to give him an analogy, a story about the man that has one sheep and the other one that has many sheep, and that the one that has many took the one that has one. And David spoke, and the person there said, oh, this is what you have done. God's not going to spare you. You have of three punishments to take from. David said, I'd rather fall into the hand of God. And the punishments came, and the punishments were stiff. Punishments were very stiff. Very, very stiff. And it came by prophecy. Some of us remember the prophecy of God to the land of Assyria, where God said Jonah should go to Nineveh. He said there was room to level Nineveh under a rock, and that there will be no more. That was also prophetic. Some of us remember Matthew 24. When Jesus himself prophesied that Jerusalem will one day be no more, it will be filled with rubbles, no stone will be upon the other. That was what he said, that it will happen very soon, that strangers will come and invade, and they will turn Jerusalem to a rubble. And it happened 300 AD when Rome decided that they are going to turn all Jews into slaves, and they leveled because they said the Jews are very stubborn. That was after Jesus had died. We know that. Many of us will remember the prophecies of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah will tell the kings that, so this land will be taken away, all your streets will be burnt. You are going to be taken away captive. Don't fight it. Babylon is going to come and take you. The prophecies are there in the Bible. Many of us remember the prophecies of Ezekiel, the leaders of Israel. Many of us remember the prophecies of Isaiah. Woe to Isaiah, woe to this, woe to that. Chinese scriptures. And the reason I started by saying all that is because it is true that prophecy is for edification, for encouragement, for teaching and for learning and for guidance. It is true. Some people who are Christians, you know, they do not have any good in them. Let me say that again. There are some people, some individuals, they have sordid, morbid, evil thoughts in their hearts. They don't wish anybody well. We don't want to dwell with anybody. They're always counting fault and finding fault. And they're always trying to condemn people, to bring people down, to act as if they are the hammer of God, that their duty is to be the hammer of God, to be whacking everybody. Guys like that. So those people will then hide under prophecy. They will say, God says the Lord, you know. God says the Lord. Your mother is a witch, you know. That in African churches especially, some of the problems I've dealt with over and over again, especially for our Mormons who are in their 50s, 40s, 50s, that trend has stopped or reduced in the past few years, especially because I moved to the city. When I was growing up in the Ibadan area, almost all the churches were Christ Apostle Church. And almost all the pastors in Christ Apostle Church, almost all of them were trained to just see evil everywhere. Maybe they still do it now. When they prophesy to you, they are going to scatter your family. All of them, like we went to at least 11 CSC churches that we attended since I was growing up, since I was a child. And there was not one of them that did not establish a pattern of family battle in every household. Somebody is a witch, somebody is a wizard, somebody is saying, don't go to your village, don't go to your hometown, don't see your father, don't see your mother, don't see your uncle. They move away from your village. They want to finish you. Those are the news I hear. We grew up, myself, my siblings, we grew up scared of everybody. Somebody comes to beat you. Mercy brings granite. He wants to initiate you into witchcraft. You go to your village. Don't let them touch your head. Nobody should touch your head. These are elderly people that want to beat you. You are a 6-year-old boy. They will tell you from home, if when you get there, don't let anybody touch your head. Dodge your head like this, like Ronaldo. Dodge your head. So you get there now. Grandpa and Grandma want to greet you. My son, how are you? I see my children. How would they touch you? Why would they touch you? Are you a juju? As they are touching you, your mother is doing blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. She's carrying a retinue and she's touching you back because she doesn't want them to see your glory. The nonsense and junkets that those Christians packaged as the gospel for the generation that are now in their 40s and 50s is an absolute travesty, is an absolute lie. They built a kingdom that is not of God on lies and on ungodly prophecies. That's the truth. The reason that I'm very sure that all of them are wrong. All of them, not some. All of them. I mean, every single one of them were wrong. The reason I became so convinced of it was when I came across the gospel myself. And I realized that because of the power that we have in Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we have, it is those people that should be afraid of us, even if we are babies. I kid you not. My son is now 14. When my son was 2 years old, I took him to my mom to spend a week. My mom was nursing my older sister's baby at Ikorodu at the time. So my first son, I took him to my mom. We went to Ikorodu. I just said, let's spend some time with my mom. So I then left him there. A few days after I got there, one of the herbalists in that area came into the compound of my sister's house. He normally does a business, all this fetish business with one of the tenants. So he was looking for that tenant, and then he came close to our house, to my sister's house, and he saw my son, and he couldn't move. He stood there. He was looking at my son from afar. He just was looking at my son. So my mom noticed. I said, "Who is that?" The man I once said, "Whose child is that?" My mom greeted the man and said, "Oh, my grandson." The man said, "Ah, he's anointed." And he was a 2 year-old boy. The man couldn't move further. Couldn't move further. He turned back and he left. When I was taking my son to my mother's house, I didn't say, "Oh, don't let them touch you. Don't let them do anything to you." I know the scriptures. The children that come from me, the Bible said they are holy. It is not negotiable. Go and check the book of Corinthians. He said, if one of you is a believer, he said, then are your children holy. He said, because if two of you are believers, your children are super holy. But if you, a believer, marry a non-believer, if you marry a harpalist, and you deliver a child, he said that child is holy. For the seed in you has made the child holy. Nobody can afflict my children. Nobody can touch them. It is scripture. I know it. However, rather than propagate the gospel the right way so that we influence the generation that will be forced into the gospel, we spread the gospel of fear and calumny, they wasted many destinies, and they empowered the darkness. Why? Because darkness thrives in fear. If the agents of light are the one telling you to be afraid, can you see now? There's a problem. Because the agents of darkness operates under the umbrella of fear. They want you to be afraid of them. It is one of the things why they do all their disappearing act, shape-shifting, turning to goat, turning to cat, telling all the mundane stories. They are planting a seed of fear in the people because they know, witches know. I've seen people stone witches to death. Witches know that if people who don't have any power, if they catch them, they will kill them. So how would you expect a witch to operate unchecked? It's going to plant fear in everybody by spreading stories, by manipulating their imagination, by making it seem as if they are larger than life. Meanwhile, they are actually vulnerable. In Europe, they used to go about killing them, hunting them down. In Nigeria, too, they used to hunt them down until these Christian people, these agents of Jesus who are pseudo agents of darkness, they didn't know what they were doing. So I forgive them. By myself, I say, "Father, forgive them." For they were ignorant. They don't know what they are doing. They did not study the scriptures. They followed the template of the previous pastors around them and all the drama they were doing, and they were even to pray. All of them learned how to be a pastor. They didn't study to show themselves approved. They basically learned it the way somebody learned how to be a mechanic. I met a man in choir. We went for a program in choir. I think that was even the last choir I went. Because I've told them in choir that there are certain people I want them to be invited for their program. I do not want to sit down under the administration of any bumble class. I don't want to. My spirit does not like it. And my spirit is not a gentle spirit. It will not sit down and be fed rubbish. I'm a thoroughbred Christian. So I will not sit down and somebody will be saying all sort of nonsense, and I will sit down and be nodding my head. I will not agree with you. So we went to choir with my team, and some of my ladies were wearing trousers. Typically, we wear jeans and t-shirts. And of course, in their own town, because they are very religious, they think that women should not wear trousers. So they invited this guy to come and talk. And then they wanted to set an example. And they said one of my My sister should stand up. That's the member for my fellowship should stand up and was saying that if somebody is looking for husband, who would they pick? Would they pick? Well, he said the other woman should stand up. The one that was wearing the one at the back and the one that was wearing this, who would they pick? Like the man that was talking, nobody in my team can ever give him to. He cannot even. He can't measure. Can't even speak English. Like, ha. And I was where I was sitting there, I was curious. Because again, the brand of the gospel they were preaching is a gospel of legalism, works, and of fear. He said when he was learning how to be a pastor, that his master put pepper in water. No? His master, that is the pastor that was training him, put a lot of pepper in water, took him to the bathroom, told him to sit down. Now began to put pepper on his head. Now said he should hold it, he should endure. That's how to learn endurance. So these are the people that are giving people prophecy. That people are believing. People that were trained by stark illiterate, wicked-hearted bosses who did not have any goodness in them. And then they will give them a microphone. What do you expect them to say? What do you expect them to say? And then those who are gullible, they begin to believe these people. One of the things you should know about the prophet is that what he has inside is what he's going to pronounce. Let me say that again. If a prophet is has ink inside his heart, if you pour water into him, holy water from heaven, ink will mix with it. When he's delivering his prophecy, it will be ink and water that will come out because he has polluted heart. And you know that because people are vessels of prophecy, people are vessels of prophecy. We are the ones that will pronounce the prophecy. Usually, if you meet an unkind person, a wicked person, even if the prophecy is good that came to him about you, the person may refuse to give it. Or when the person will give it, the person would change it or manipulate it. Nobody ever gives a prophecy as a seed. It is always there's always a 5-degree difference in the accuracy of prophecy. From the days of scripture till now, there's always a degree. I told you yesterday when Elisha told that man to shoot the arrow. You see the difference of 5% that was there was that the guy shot only 3 because an accurate prophecy would have told him shoot as many as possible, right? Nothing will kill Elisha if he said that. He will not die. If you told that man, take the bow, take the arrow, shoot as much as possible. Will he die? He will not. But he said, shoot. So then the guy now shot 3 times. He now said, you have shot more. Can you see? The energy he used to say, he will have shot more. He could have even told him, shoot more. But you see, Elisha was one of those, he has a little bit of bitterness, anger issue. The Bible proved it, that Elisha can easily be made to be angry. And his mood affects his prophecy. When he was going to prophesy to Ahab and Jehoshaphat, he said they should get him a mixture. Why? Because he just finished cursing Ahab. He said, your father, your uncle, your sister. And at that time, the Holy Spirit has left. He had to bring him a mixture for the spirit to be revived because he has anger issues. Elijah has serious anger issues. Elijah also has serious anger issues. So people that have anger issues. And if they become a prophet, their prophecy will then be colored. Now, before I move on, I have to talk about some other kinds of prophets. There is a prophet in the Bible that's not really a prophet, a sorcerer called Balaam. Balaam, the son of Peor, son of Beor. You see a story in the book of Numbers. Balaam was an oracle of God, but he was not a prophet. He wasn't an Israelite. He was not of the covenant. He was a man that found a back room, a back alley, into harnessing supernatural power through his relationship with angels, not fallen angels. He found a way. And that makes them happy. So his communication became very effective. When he speaks, it will be so. He has done some things that the Bible did not give us a picture of. But those things that he has done has helped him to break some codes in between the supernatural and the natural, so that when Balaam speaks, his words are always accurate. So Balaam does not only speak when he was told what to say. Balaam himself has become an oracle such that if he says a thing, there will be a serious divine backing for that thing, and that thing will be established. Now, there are prophets like that. That is true. There are people who are so anointed as believers that if you make them angry and they say something negative to you, if you do not understand how to counter their words, that thing can come to pass. There are people who had entered into certain realms. And when you enter into certain realms, you begin to assume, you are subsumed into the realm, and then you assume some of the characters and the traits of the realm. So if you go into the realm of the spirit and enter into the realm of words, there's a realm of words where words are broken into the real consciousness and power and purpose that they are meant to do. Because human language is it's basic. There is a realm where thoughts are spoken so clearly. Suddenly you will notice that you don't be thinking of it and it will be established. If you pray for somebody, the person will just come back and say, "Glory to God, it has been done." A lot of us are Christians. That's why we look for big men of God to pray for us or to counsel us or to be us on our business or what have you. Why? Because such men, because of their relationship, their fellowship, and their desire or their willingness to learn and to grow, right? Such men had crossed certain thresholds in the realm of the spirit. They've crossed certain thresholds. Is there anybody that is crossing at the same time? Because some people say, "I will be this, I will open some portal." All those, I just laugh at them. But you know some people. You will know it based on not their words, but the evidence. The evidence you will see. You'll be like, "Oh my God, something has happened to this man. This man was not like this before." And they normally just mind their business. You see all those other ones that we're preaching and been talking about, insulting people, they don't have anything. They are just kingdom clowns. Even if they have color, they are just kingdom clowns. I mean it. I just kingdom clowns. He has given everyone his own portion. That's what the scripture says. You know, he gives everybody their lot. If you look at Jesus, whenever he would give parables, when he said, "Oh, wanted to give talent, give three, give two, give five, wanted to give this good occupation, occupy till I come," he will give each his own lot and his portion. So he does not choose anybody to be a supervisor over them. You will receive your portion and you will do your portion. Nobody will come and be the one that is sitting over you to say, "This is what the master wants." No. Adeboye will do his portion. Adeboye will do his portion. Minga will do his portion. And Minga cannot tell Adeboye how to do his portion. I was not there when Adeboye was giving instruction. And Minga cannot tell Adeboye how to do his portion. I was not there when he was doing his portion. And they cannot tell me how to do my portion, even though they are older than me. Because they are not there when I receive my instruction. So you see the issue now. Uh-huh. So everybody receives their portion and they do their work. However, in the course of interaction, if a man of God or a prophet or a pastor begins to prophesy, either moved by himself like Balaam. So what in the case of Balaam, what Balaam was told to do, he was told to move himself to speak. He was told to move himself to speak because, of course, God has blessed Israel in the book of Genesis 35. God called Jacob and blessed him, and he put an angel to watch out for those spiritually. That angel that God said, today, Jacob, from today your name will be Israel. This angel shall guide you. We shall go before you. That angel is the angel that is watching over the nation of Israel, that was watching over them, that is still watching over them till now. And that angel will always watch out, not for human issues, but for spiritual attack. Angels are the best at spiritual issues. Their duty, because they are spiritual by nature, they are spiritual in their capacity. If they give you spiritual, quote, covering, just know that nobody can attack you spiritually. It does not mean that if you offend somebody, this person cannot slap you and your ears will do ish. That is physical. So the Amalekite can still attack Israel and Israel will feel it. Israel can attack the Amalekite and the Amalekite will feel it. But if the Amalekite wants to use a spiritual means to attack, it will be foiled. Why? Because they have an angel watching over them. So you see that? You see the difference? You cannot attack. I say the same thing to born again Christians. Those who know their rise in Christ, you cannot say you are a Israel, you are going to get some things. It will not work against the Christian because we are perpetually in the presence of the Lord forever. We are watched over, not by our pastor, not by Brother Benga. Each one of us, we are watched over by the Spirit of God. We are full of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be afflicted. We cannot be oppressed. Nobody can curse us. Nobody can say negative word. Your father cannot. Your mother cannot. I'm saying that so that you know. Your father cannot speak a negative word to your life. Your mother cannot. If they do, their words will be empty. It is impossible to curse the person that God has blessed. And you are children of the blessed one. The Bible says you are children of the day, sons of obedience. Children of the day, sons of obedience. Nobody can curse you. You have entered into a realm, a kingdom, where there is no sorrow, no pain, no darkness, no tears, no attack. You have entered into a kingdom of love and light. You belong to Jesus. Therefore, nobody can. That's the truth. Either the person is pastor, senior pastor, whatever, nobody can. Either you deserve it. Then they say, oh, a curse cannot stand. So if you do something wrong, somebody will curse you to happen. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. For a born again Christian, if he knows he's right, he will deal with you. If he do something wrong to you, he will apologize. That is the end of it. He will apologize. He will say, I acknowledge my sin. I'm sorry. That's the end of it. There's nothing you can do about it. If you do something wrong too, if you are born again, there is nobody can. It is the truth. It is the truth. We are pre-forgiven. Forgiven even before we do anything wrong. We are righteous by nature. Nothing can stick to us. That's the truth. But if people don't know it, one of the ways by which problem then comes is that in their hearts, they will have what we call guilt, guilty conscience, or fear. Once you have either of those two things, you are going to open the door to what we call the attack of a negative prophecy. The spirit of error. That was what comes in. You will notice that the Bible said the spirit of error came into Saul. And Saul began to misbehave. Because the Spirit of God left him, the spirit of error came in. When somebody is operating with a guilty conscience or with fear, the person does not make the best decisions. The person does not make the best decisions. I was in Lagos. By example, I want to share this with you. I was in Lagos, maybe like sometime last month or 2 months ago. I was in Lagos. I was staying at a hotel in Kenya. A pastor was in another hotel in Kenya, on the island. He has done something he shouldn't do. He's a young pastor, he's not married. He has done something he shouldn't do. By mistake, he came to Nigeria from America. He met somebody, they were talking. Then the lady, they had a meeting the first day, the lady went home. I had a meeting, the lady went home. Third day, the lady then said, oh, she couldn't get Uber to go home, that she would like to stay in the soup she stayed. And then by morning, she forgot her jacket, she left. Then she then called me to say, oh, she forgot her jacket in the room that she was coming back, so she went back. And then eventually, what was not supposed to happen happened. The two of them had sex. And after that, the lady said, hi, you raped me. To this pastor, and I was in Lagos. And the pastor had called me to say to me that, oh, my God, let me come and see you tomorrow morning. That morning will be Sunday. I said, oh, somebody has invited me to preach in their church. He said, please, I have a flight to catch my one morning. So I will come very early in the morning. So I was expecting him to call me around 7 a.m. because that was the agreement. He didn't call. So I called him. Please, I have to go to church. What is the problem? He said, I'm in trouble. Somebody just accused me of it, right? And I said, what happened? He said, the person did not, the person that she just fucked her back, said, you made me, I'm going to do it. And that she was shouting, that she was saying, what are you talking about? And then the person stopped that from being done. Then he said he was afraid that if he stepped out, maybe police will catch him. If he stay in the room, maybe the girl has gone to report to tell people and they will come and arrest him. He was very scared that he didn't know the move the girl has made, right? And I said to him, like I told you guys yesterday, Pastor, Christ is your leader. This posture you have taken, you have begun to torture yourself. You have begun. That is not the posture. The posture is to start. They stand against the military and say, no, nobody can set me up like this. You are set up like this. You are set up. And, you know, it's like somebody set a trap, you have entered it. Okay, you are not in the trap. You can spring out of it. Must you wait for the owner of the trap to come? Let me say that again. Because when we were young, we used to go to the farm, and my grandfather would set the trap. When the trap catches an animal, you know, sometimes, my grandfather will not go to that particular farm for 4 or 5 days. By the time we get to that trap, the animal would have died in the trap and it will already be stinking. Because it was caught in a trap and it didn't have the wisdom to remove itself. Sometimes we are lucky. We will get to the trap on time and my grandfather will be able to remove the animal and all that. So I know how traps work. Somebody will set a trap for you. A human being has a brain. Somebody set a trap. You have entered it. Why are you sitting in the trap? I said, pack your bag now. Check out of that hotel now. Check out of that hotel and be coming to me. That's what I told him. Check out. Check. I'm waiting for you. So I called the church I was supposed to visit. I said, they shouldn't bother. I will meet them. But I have something I have to deal with. I said, check out now. You sat out there. Somebody accused you of rape. Person has left. You are now sitting there in that same room. You are shaking. You are shaking. Your body is saying, my name is Paul. My minister. I said, no. Check out. Check out now. Check out and come and meet me. So he had to check out of that hotel totally. Don't tell them the 400. Come and meet me. If the girl has a case, let her call you on the phone. Let's see what will happen. So he came to me. I then sat him down and said, see, what you did is wrong. I agree. But never you kill yourself before death will come. The posture you have taken is a posture of somebody that is accursed. That posture is a no-no for a Christian. It's a no-no for a Christian. It will affect your spiritual status. You will not be able to function as a child of God. You are going to be guilt-laden. You are going to be, your defenses will be down. You are going to have headache, heart palpitation, IBP, or every negative thing will come. Simply because your consciousness has shifted based on somebody's whatever. I said right there, and then you have slapped her. Like you have given her a very good slap. So the English will change. Yeah, I said, no, but yeah, in America, you don't know how this Nigerian girl sometimes behave. So I told you, I said, right there, and then you said, what are you talking to? Do you think I'm a child? You will have shouted that down. You will see how she will keep quiet. But because you are America, you are doing, oh my God. Oh my. You don't know. Nigeria street girls, they were talking. It showed all the, I have all the messages. I grabbed everything, sent it to me. I sent a message to the girl, said, go and get your police. I've already called my lawyer. Go and get your police. Oh yeah, let us meet. The girl blocked me immediately and the matter died there. See now, because now I'm in Nigeria, and I will not, again, I do not concede to anybody like this. It is hot for hot. I'm not going to, if you bring it, we'll bring it. If it is war, we declare it immediately. I'm all for it. Always testing my boundaries. So I'm not going to sit down and say, hey, let us wait for her to make the first move. I will make the first move. So I said, give me the phone number. I reached out. I said, yeah, I've already called my lawyer. I have police on standby. I have all the transactions, all the money you collect from this man. You've collected from him almost 2 million naira. Every transfer, I have the receipt. Everything is in my phone. In fact, I wanted to post on Star this morning. I repented because I couldn't cancel some of the details. Because the matter is done. I wanted to use it to write to people to say this is a trap that people set for men of God who are not so, for young men who do not know life. I've already posted it. I just deleted it because the phone number of the girl was, I couldn't cancel the phone number. Anyway, here is where I'm going. In any of such cases, when you find yourself in muddy water, or when somebody speaks a word that is not supposed to be spoken, or you find yourself in a place where guilt is going to open the door to all forms of attack against your person, you must not forget who you are. You see, the word pronounced over you was pronounced in the book of John, chapter 17. No human words can negate the words of Jesus over you. In John chapter 17, Jesus prophesied into your life. He said, Father, the glory that you have given to me, I have given to these ones and those that will believe after them. That is where the believer, that is where your consciousness must be. Because if somebody says something to you today, if you compare that thing to what Jesus Christ said that day, you realize that the person's words are empty. They are useless words. Useless words. But if you don't remember the words of Jesus, that you are called blessed, you are called out, that your lot in life is not what the person said, you are going to believe the words of that person. And then you'll begin to act according to the details of that person's words. You know, something that you are planning. You are planning. When they came to David and they said, David, you have killed Uriah. And this kingdom has been taken from you and given to your neighbor. Remember, I told you that prophecies are 5% variation. 5% variation. Did you notice that it wasn't his neighbor that the kingdom was given to? It was given to his son, to Absalom. And yet, when the prophet spoke, the prophet said, neighbor. But at the end of the day, it was his own son that came to chase him away from the throne. That's scripture. But the prophecy says, neighbor. So if David was looking for a neighbor, who would he be looking at? Philistine, Hittite, Gittites, Egyptians, those that are around him. He'll be thinking that those are the enemies that want to go and pursue him from his throne. He will not look to see that, oh, God said, neighbor. But actually, it was his own son, Absalom, that will eventually plot against him and take away his throne. Do you know where Absalom learned all the things Absalom learned? Absalom learned it is at Geshur. Geshur was where Absalom's mother was born, the king of Geshur. When Absalom killed Amnon, he ran to Geshur, his mother's father's house. It was there that he learned how to operate to chase David out of the throne. So God didn't lie. It was the neighbor that taught him, but it was the son that took the throne. That's how prophecies are. Prophecies are not so straightforward. Sometimes you will say in the evening, something will happen. You then say the thing will happen in the morning. Sometimes it will say in the morning. You notice, then you want to know the timing, chronemics and prosemics of prophecy. However, every negative prophecy, the key for them coming to pass is that you must believe them. If you don't believe a good prophecy, it will not come to pass. If you don't believe a negative prophecy too, it will not come to pass. Faith is always of the heart. If somebody speaks, if somebody speaks and you don't believe it, it will not come to pass. No matter who the person is, person speaks, just say, just shut your mouth. Are you talking to? That person will die. You don't even have to pray about it. You don't just say, you cannot talk to me. Shut your mouth. You know, was it Anathoth and Jeremiah that were two prophets that were fighting in the court of the king of Israel? Jeremiah came to the court of Israel with a yoke on his neck. Anathoth was there already talking to the king and was also a priest. Jeremiah said, by this time next year, the yoke will be on the neck of the king. It will be paraded before the king of Babylon. The other man said, shut up. By this time next year, this king will be free. He will not be before any king. Nobody will capture him. Then Anathoth got angry and came to Jeremiah and broke the yoke of Jeremiah's neck and threw it away. I said, the way I broke this yoke, that's how that yoke before the neck of on the neck of the king will be broken. Jeremiah was embarrassed in that court that day. Anathoth won. Anathoth won the physical altercation. Anathoth beat Jeremiah hands down. So Jeremiah now said, you know, when somebody is talking, Jeremiah now said, a prophet of God is where the prophecy comes to pass that you know whether he's telling the truth or not. Can you see? Because before the king, Jeremiah lost. Jeremiah wanted to convince the king, but Anathoth was the one that convinced the king. So the king was like, he started with Anathoth. Jeremiah now said, okay, no problem. We will see whose word will come to pass. 10 months later, Anathoth now died. And then they came and took them away captive. Here's my point. Even the person that came to tell the truth, as long as the king did not believe, as somebody else convinced the king, it was delayed. It happened eventually because Anathoth died. You have to understand how prophecy works. If anybody says anything to me, I'll just say your words are dust. Your words are empty. You cannot, I am uncursable. You do not have the authority to pronounce any words over my life. You are not there when I was called forth in the light. You are not there when I was given my name. I was given my name at no time that anybody can mention. And the Bible says the name that he gave unto me was written on my forehead, and only he knows it. If you do not know the name God has given unto me, you cannot curse me. I know my right. I know my standing. The scriptures support me that as an entity, I stand only before my God, and I have an audience of one. So your opinion does not matter. However, before I got there, before I got to the point where I became so convinced of this, I have suffered in the hand of all those kind of prophecies because I did not know how to control my belief system. I've shared with us that a prophet called me once out of the blue, just called. And the prophet said, there's somebody around you that is pregnant. And the person will give back to our neighbor's house. And at that time, I was expecting my last baby. And that prophecy, it, as soon as I heard it, I couldn't unhear it. And I began to stammer. Because nowadays, I won't even let you say it. I will have taken the goggle off your eyes. Even if you call yourself prophet, no matter what you call yourself, I will have told you to shut up and get out of my phone. I won't even think twice. I'm very, very sensitive to such pronouncements. But as at that time, I didn't have knowledge, right? And I picked the call and I was allowing this person talk. That child was born with a lot of challenges that I had to fight and fight and fight and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. Glory to God. Yesterday was our open day. When I got to our open day, as I was speaking to the teacher said, she's the queen of our class. She's topping the class. In fact, I saw a crown on the table. They made a crown for her. All her mates are saying, that was the same girl that some 4 or 5 years ago, I don't learn how to speak. I still learned how to walk. I still learned how to do anything. It was almost as if she was a child with special needs. That same child is what the teacher was saying to me yesterday, that is has mastered all the multiplication tables and is way ahead of her peers. And I realized why the girl insisted I must come. When I said, oh, I'm busy, can I join online? He said, no, Dad, you must come for my open day. Come for my open day. When I saw what the child was saying, I said, well, if I was in your shoes, Why would I not to show? I also want to show off now so that I can know that this money was not, it's not wasting. To turn negative prophecy around, not to allow it affect you, is to shut it down at the entrance. Don't allow the word spoken. Don't even hear it. Don't consider it. However, if the word has been spoken, just like that one, I said this man spoke to me, the way to turn it around is to begin to speak positive words. Don't say, Father, I come against this prophecy. Don't acknowledge the prophecy. If they say, this person will never have a child, if they say that, right? Every day, you thank the Lord. Ah, thank you, Jesus, for my children. You are blessing the Lord. Don't say, the person that said that I don't have a child, Father, don't let our words come to pass. No. Don't acknowledge. The Bible says acknowledging every good word, every good thing. So don't acknowledge any bad thing before the Lord. Acknowledge only the words of God that have been spoken over you. None shall be barren. It's a fact. A man cannot then declare against the word of God that somebody should be barren. It is a lie. It is only if the man is believed and God's word is believed that the word of that man can come to pass. And some of us will rather believe the word of a man than the word of God. Some of us will rather believe the word of a man than the word of God. It is very important that you guard your heart with all diligence, that you do not allow Balaam. When Balaam began to speak, there was nobody to defend Israel because Israel was not there. Israel was still on their way to Moab, so they have not arrived. Moses was with them, so Moses was not there. So it was the angel of the Lord, the angel of Israel, that came to tell Balaam that, hey, don't curse Israel. Don't curse Israel. You can go to this king and collect money, you can, but don't curse Israel. And then Balaam wanted to earn that money. And Balaam went to seven different places. He set up seven different altars. When you look at what they call the Ouija board, the seven points of the Ouija board representing all the seven elements, Balaam wanted to use the element, the angelic element, to curse Israel. He wanted to use water. It didn't work. He moved away from there. He wanted to use fire. It didn't work. He moved away from there. He wanted to use the earth. It didn't work. He moved away from there. He wanted to use the sea. He tried it. It didn't work. He moved away from there. He wanted to go to the grove to use the forest. It didn't work. He moved away from there. He tried all seven elements of the Ouija board. That was what Balaam was trying to do. Trying to use the influence of any of the present spirits to fly that prophecy. At every point, the angel of the Lord was there to silence him. And at the end of the day, Balaam blessed himself. And I learned a lot of lessons from that numbers. Because of my personal experience with prophecy especially, I had to sit down and study prophecy in depth. I can teach on prophecies all day, all night. I've been doing it for a few days now. In the morning and in the evening, every day. I can teach on them. I know them. I study them. I know the chronemics. I know the proxemics. I know the numerology of it. I studied it. The reason is simple. I didn't want anybody around me to be afflicted by prophecy. I wanted us to be able to deploy prophecy as a channel of blessing to everybody. So today, every negative prophecy that has been at work in your life, they will die. Not the words will be torn out of their hiding places and they will be crushed. The Bible says the word of God is like hammer. Since it breaks everything that is not of God, it will break them to pieces. It will crush them. That's what will happen today. That's why I brought the class. So that if there's anybody, somebody said I will not have a baby. Somebody said I will not prosper. My father cursed me. My mother said this. My uncle said this. A prophet said this. My pastor said this. There are a lot of Christians that those are the things they are dealing with. Those are the things they are dealing with. And because of their belief system, because they really believed that that curse was real, because and they could see the evidence of that curse, they are struggling to come out of it. But the Bible says by a prophet was Israel delivered. And today, by the word of prophecy, you shall be delivered. You shall be delivered. Let's begin to pray in the spirit now. wherever you are. There are certain things that we need to turn around, but I want you to rev up your spirit. Rev up your spirit must be hot. Must be hot. That's to be from the spirit. I want to expunge some things from deep within your system. You've been listening to me for about 55, 56, 54 minutes. And so it is good that at this point, your spirit is opening to the impartation of the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. I just want that light shed out. There's no shadow. There's no shadow that you won't light up. Every shadow, every hidden place in your heart, in your life, in your story, in your testimony, that is darkened by any form of word, any curse, any prophecy, any negative word, any unpronounced or professed word, even the one you spoke to yourself, or the one that you spoke against somebody in the place of anger, or the one that was spoken to you because you did something wrong, or that you hurt anybody, this moment, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare, let those words perish. Only the word of God does not perish. Every word, let their effect stop. Let the waster destroy them. That the Bible says, he has created a waster to destroy. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Let there be condemnation for every tongue that is condemning you. Let there be silence for them. Let there be strong contention. And let the power of the Holy Spirit overwhelm them. You are not curseable. You cannot be, negativity cannot be spoken into you. You dwell in indelible light in which there is no shadow of turning or anything of such. Therefore, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I declare it that there is no curse in you. There is no curse in you. There is no cancer in you. There is no curse in you. There is no barrenness in you. There is no curse in you. There is no fibroid in you. There is no curse in you. There is no inherited curse. No, you belong to Christ. Therefore, you are blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. Thank you, Lord. This offering, give it, pronounce blessings over yourself. The Bible says, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. I want you to pronounce blessings. Now, the curses are done, but I want you to pronounce blessings. Pronounce them in multiple fold. Speak blessing into your own business, into your life, into your children. Speak those blessings. Speak them. Call them forth. Let Katapara call forth light out of darkness. He call forth light out of darkness. Call forth light. Call forth light. Call forth light. Speak blessings into your marital issues. Speak blessing into your mindset, into your home, into your career, into your marriage. Speak blessings over your car that is misbehaving, over your equipment. Speak blessing over everything. Anyone that wants to damage your marriage or scatter your home or take advantage of the blessing of God over your life, break their hold over your destiny. Declare that they are not, there is no space for them. There is no room for them. Let company as sociale kashatadias. Rabinia sata shakanabarada shabi kai kedukasiashatabiana shari. Yande katushia, teke tebelikia na baru ya denga na baru to shasa tai. Laika zate gede baru to shasa, tibidi gidi gidi yasus. Oh, Father, we give you glory. Sheke tibidi ya na dash. Leke bidi ya do satai ke didi ya de kadika dika dika ya. Thank you, Jesus. These are the children of the blessed one, the children of the light. These are the children of the world that are called forth in light. Hi, 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 hi. Oh, this is Zion, the habitation of the Most High God. These are the members of the assembly of the saints in light. These are the children of Jesus, the brethren of the Lord, the members of heaven. There is no curse in you, only light, only joy. The word of God prevail over you. Righteousness of God prevail over you. The angel of the Lord defend your territory. Mount up the gates over your spiritual life. No more affliction. Nothing that happened to your family can happen to you. We turn it around. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Glory and honor to your name, O Lord. Glory to your name, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory.
Glory. Glory, 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 glory